Our scripture reading for today is printed for Monday, and it is taken from Luke chapter 10, verse 16, where Jesus says to the 72 he sends out, "He who hears you hears me, he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. God has always loved giraffes and panda bears and turtles and antelope and doves and sharks. But he did not choose to have a very special and unique rapport and relationship with all of these creatures. But on the sixth day, he chose to make one specific creature that would be unique and different from the rest of the animal kingdom, that would bear his image, and one with whom he could communicate and have a very special relationship. God wanted to have a creature that not only reflected his image in the world, but also one who he could talk to. If you think about it, in your relationships as well, usually the people we talk to the most are the ones we love the most. Conversely, sometimes if we want to show that we don't love someone, we withhold our communication from them. We shun them, if you will. Communication, and if you will, talking to someone is a wonderful way of expressing your love and how important that individual is to you. And so it is with God. When God created Adam and Eve, his desire was to have open communication with them, to be able to talk to them freely in the garden and communicate with them. This was something that would give God great pleasure, to have this special, unique creature communicate with him and be able to hear him, and so on. And yet, of course, we know that because of that horrific fall into sin and all of its consequences, all of this was interrupted and all of this was foiled and changed. How easily God at that point could have just cut off all communication and shunned humanity and walked away. But he just loved us too much. He just loved you and me way too much. He just had to keep talking to us. He had to communicate to this special creature. And so right away, he comes to Adam and Eve and begins again talking to them, trying to show them their sin. And once they see that, immediately presenting to them of the coming Savior that would spare them from all of this sin. And from that point on, God continues to communicate to humanity in very special and unique ways, and later establishes the position in the office of the prophet, who would now be his very mouthpiece on earth to come and speak. God wanted to keep this line of open communication between himself and us, this very special creature that he had made. That's a pretty unique and wonderful thing that sometimes we just take for granted, that God wants to talk to us. That's pretty awesome. God himself wants to communicate with us. And it's that very love of God that wants to communicate with us that also caused him to send his son to come into the flesh. And Jesus, of course, would be the very mouth of God on earth. And so the word of God and the flesh of his son, in a sense, were put together in the work of Christ. The Word became flesh, the ultimate expression of God's love to humanity, not just in communication, but in human form, to come and be the great sacrifice for our sins. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That special office of the prophet in the Old Testament that we see filled by many of the great names, Isaiah, Jeremiah, we think about Joel and Amos, Hosea, and all of the other great prophets in the Old Testament. Each of these was called and sent by God at a particular point in Israel's history to communicate his truth to them, to tell them a very specific thing that the people needed to know. And they became then the mouth of God in this fallen world. And they were hand-selected by God. These weren't positions that you volunteered for and came and offered to do. Sometimes God dragged people into this office who really didn't want to be there and were kind of against the whole idea. And at times came in trembling and afraid. And they usually weren't, these Old Testament prophets usually weren't anybody of great esteem or notoriety or fame. Quite often they were just humble people. I think of that image of the prophet Nathan called upon by God to be his mouth to King David and to go into the palace and to confront David with all of his sin and to tell him about it and to prick his conscience. And here's this little humble prophet who'd been taking care of sheep just hours earlier, now having to stand in front of the king and convict him of his sin. And yet, Nathan in that instance demonstrates the one great quality God desired in his prophets: faithfulness. Just take what I tell you to say and say it. Don't take away from it. Don't add to it. And that essential quality is true of the prophetic office, not only in the Old Testament, but in the person of Christ, certainly, in all of his apostles, and in any of those who are to go and publicly teach and preach God's word. And even for us as individual Christians, when we talk to one another using the words of Christ. Faithfulness to the word. We're told in the book of Hebrews, the first verse of the book, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. All of those Old Testament prophets were like a shadow or a picture of Jesus who was coming. In the same way that those who stand and publicly preach his word today and do so in its truth and purity, likewise are a shadow of the Christ who has come. And when Jesus spoke the law, the way he did, for instance, to the Pharisees of his day, to convict them of their false teaching, when he spoke the law to the woman at the well who was living in sin and so on, that word of God from the mouth of the Father through his very human lips had great power and authority. And likewise, when he spoke the gospel, that same sweet, beautiful message, the way he spoke it to the thief on the cross or the paralyzed man or the woman crying at his feet to comfort them and so on. How wonderful that must have been for them to hear the very voice of God telling them that their sins were forgiven and that paradise was open to them. What a privilege that must have been to actually get to hear Jesus, God himself, talk. Jesus didn't want you and me to miss out on that. He didn't want you and me to be any less certain that the words we hear are truly from the lips of God. And so he has established a unique office in the church of those who will proclaim his word. And we can be just as certain when we hear from those sinful lips, sanctified by God and his call, we can be just as sure and certain that the word we hear from them, when it's taught in its truth and purity, is from God himself. Now, that's very reassuring to those of us who are in the offices of preaching and teaching the word of God. It's reassuring to know that it's not the power in us that has anything to do with what happens in your hearts. The power is truly from God and by his Spirit, being used even through a sinful instrument like us to proclaim his wonderful truth. But it's not just pastors and teachers in public settings where this is done, where they are appropriately called by God to do so. But there may be times in the individual lives of Christians when they are called upon to speak the word of God to someone in an individual case. I remember hearing a story a few years ago about a lady out on the East Coast who was living out on her farm, and there had been two escaped convicts that came to her farmhouse and held her hostage for days. And one of them finally left and escaped again and went on, but the other one finally permitted her to call the authorities to have them come in. And they rearrested the man and brought him back to prison. And they asked this elderly woman, exactly what happened? Why did he turn himself in? And she said, I sat down and read to him from the Bible, and I told him that the Lord Jesus would want him to repent and to do what was right, and so he did. There in that humble woman was the mouth of God. Since God still loves you and me so much that he wants to keep communicating to us through his word and through the office of the public ministry, let us not despise preaching and his word, but in true faith let us hold it sacred and gladly, gladly hear and learn it. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Today we have a special prayer request for Ben Floor, the brother of our Mary Floor, who today is shipping out to the Middle East for a tour of duty in Iraq. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace on behalf of your dear child, Ben Floor. In this time of trial, remind him of your fatherly goodness and care. Strengthen him in your grace through the knowledge of Christ his Savior. Protect and preserve his life through the guardianship of your holy angels. Grant peace and confidence of faith to his loved ones. We thank you for all of the men and women of our armed forces who work to protect and defend our country. Be with them and their families and bring them safely home in keeping with your will. Establish peace and stability of government to all nations of the earth, that such conflicts may ultimately cease. We ask that all of these petitions be carried out in keeping with your good and gracious will and wisdom, which transcends all human understanding, through the merits of Christ our Savior. Amen.